Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 24 of Hotline League. Boy, is it a special one for you guys tonight, because guess what? We're airing this on a Sunday. Tomorrow, we've got another episode. Episode 25 will air. That's a special feature week. We're waiting for MSI to start, but there's already been some movements. We're going to be talking to the head of Golden Guardians this week about the changes that he's seeing in his organization, some of the broader strategy there. Sure, you guys have a lot of questions for him, and we'll be talking about all sorts of other stuff, too. I don't know what yet, because you guys haven't called in, but we'll find out shortly. Here we go.
Hotline League is brought to you by Omen by HP.
All right. Somebody was typing over the start of this, and I think it was probably Mark.
Never.
Mark, was
that me?
All right.
I was adding some ambiance. I'm sorry it didn't play well.
Yeah.
It's had okay. A rhythmic quality.
Yeah. Like the brought to you by Omen by HP, and there's a keyboard sound. That's actually part of it. You know, it's like the act of using a computer.
It's like that a little bit, right?
Yeah, Jesus. All right, here we go. So, sorry for everyone who's watching the VOD and expected a professional start to the show. I always try to give that, but Mark had other plans today. Mark,
what's funny is usually I mute myself so I can't mess it up, and then I was like in my own head, like, I'm not going to mess it up. And then I started typing to Emily.
All right. Well, Mark is my constant co-host. He's already introduced himself, but I'll let him do it a little bit more. Mark, how are you doing?
I'm doing real good. I wasn't really thinking about it, but like you said, this is on a Sunday. So does that mean I get to bill you double for this week?
Next up, we have our guest, Hunter Lee from Golden Guardians on the show today. Hunter, how's it going?
Good. You know, it's going to be a fun night.
how we'll get into this in a second, but are you a little nervous for tonight?
Yeah. I would describe myself as sad, anxious, and nervous.
All right. I describe myself as excited, confused, and startled. That's my natural state, actually. So
that's how I am all the time. I'm like a bunny rabbit ready to just dart out of the room.
Yeah. I've switched to regular glasses now because Mark is wearing two. So I feel like he's covering both of us.
Well, you got a new camera and it looks really nice. And so I'm just trying to find some way to keep up. And I thought the double glasses was a good move.
Yeah, it is a unique, it's a differentiator. You know, I've got the good camera. You've got the two glasses. I don't know. No, it's a little bit of chitter chatter before the start of the show. Mark, what did you do this past week?
Nothing.
Really?
I mean, I've been telling you, right? Like, I've been going to like meetings almost every day about like different opportunities because I want to find something that I want to commit like a little bit more long term to than just like consulting, I guess I would say. So I'm exploring.
Oh, these. You are looking for like a full time gig.
Are these like jobs?
No, I mean, what's a job in esports really?
Well, I guess what I would say is is it enough of a thing that you wouldn't be doing some of what you were doing before? An exclusivity type arrangement?
No, I don't think it would be. Well, it would be exclusive due to my time commitments, but I don't think.
Okay.
Basically, just trying to find a place to make content that I'm going to enjoy and people are going to enjoy and beyond just doing it on my own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm rapidly fixing the alert noises for the donation and subscriptions and everything. So sorry for the noise around all that. Mark, you're just taking meetings and stuff because you don't have anything going on with offline, right? It's not using you for a while, so it's just nothing. This is the only thing you've got.
Right. And I mean, like, I'm setting up a little bit for the future. I mean, MSI is coming up and there's no way if I have this much free time, I'm not going to be doing content for that. So
yeah.
Have some stuff planned, maybe bring some stuff back. Who knows which of my old shows will be coming back.
Yeah. Well,
that's exciting.
Excited excited to see. Hunter, how are you doing? I know you've had, you know, a hectic week from work, but you were talking a little bit about there's a new Slay the Spire character that came out. Slay the Spire.
We both play. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, you have to opt into the beta, which I had to figure out how to do, and it's intuitive. And but you need to be careful because it resets your progress. You got to redo all the unlocks and stuff.
But Travis, I'll be right back.
We should not have talked about this. Now Mark knows about this. The entire show, he's just going to be playing Slay the Spire.
Yeah. So I got into Slay the Spire 2 weeks ago during Kelby's birthday, and have really enjoyed it. And the new third character is very different. But fun so far. I'm not very good yet.
I hear it's confusing. Change. For me, I got new glasses. This is one of my pairs of new glasses. This is another pair of my new glasses. That was the exciting thing for me. Also, Boba Cola using trickery. Apparently, if you know somebody's Amazon wish list, you can send them stuff that isn't on the Amazon wish list. Sent me something called a Cam Link, which is now allowing me to use my mirrorless Sony camera as a webcam. So no more Logitech camera. Now I've got this thing. So Mark has to compete by wearing two sunglasses.
Send him another one, and then he'll give it to me.
It's still, like you camera. Said, it's, yeah, yeah. All right. Well worth it.
Well, either way, we've got that going. So, Hunter, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and your background? Because I know you've done content with me in the past and we've done some videos, but I'm sure that we have a little bit of a different audience tonight who might not be familiar with your esports sure. story.
Sure. So circling back, I got into esports 6-7 years ago. TSM moved from their team house in New York to their team house in San Francisco. And I was in the tech and gaming space up here. And I just kind of reached out and asked if there was anything I could do, volunteer. You know, I was in kind of the tech space, so maybe website stuff. I don't know. And I ended up writing a tribunal kind of joke slash analysis blog for them. And that combined with my kind of web experience made me a really good candidate for when GameSpot, where Travis and Slasher was kind of expanding esports to spin off its own site. So I joined and was product and operations manager for GameSpot for a year and a half or 2 years or however long we were there, mostly with under the OnGamers umbrella, ill-fated and forgotten at this point, hopefully. And then I took a job at Riot. I moved down to LA and was at Riot for a little under 2 years, working as sort of running the LCS as product lead during mostly the transition to BO3s. That was kind of my big project at Riot, but the 2016 Worlds in Europe and overseeing kind of League Ops and a lot of behind the scenes stuff, helping to make the broadcast go and those kind of things.
2015 Worlds in Europe.
2015 Worlds, yeah, in EU. A fun Worlds to work for sure. And then I left that to come back home, and I joined running. I forget my title, head of business development or something for Yahoo Esports, and worked alongside Travis again. And we were there as long as Yahoo Esports existed, which was about a year for me. I think I was there for about a year, and then the Verizon acquisition ended up closing that, and then. I have now been at Golden Guardians or the Golden State Warriors for about 7 months, all of its existence, I guess, since mid-October when we got word that this was a thing until now. And it's been quite a ride. So two stints on the media side now. So depending on how you count the TSM thing, maybe 1.1 stints on the team side, and then some time at Riot also. So I've been all over the industry.
Yeah. You were the reason why Best of Threes happened to some extent, or it happened underneath your tenure.
Yeah. Certainly not the only reason, but it was a lot of work. I kind of led a lot of the transitional efforts and the initial internal rallying to try to help make that happen. And, you know, the building out of the second studio and the rallying of labor and a lot of that kind of stuff. That was a lot of fun, a lot of work, a lot of fun.
So you've announced some changes recently to Golden Guardians. Do you want to discuss sort of what was announced this week?
Yeah, so I'll do it in sort of two forms. One, I think the announcement was we kind of announced in a video, and then I went and did a bunch of interviews Wednesday, and one of those did not go super well, and it blew up on Reddit. And so, you know, and so that's some of why we're here. But we've announced kind of a bunch of changes that that I can talk about. The big one that I think a lot of people are focusing on is that we have moved on from high at mid and brought in Mickey from Team Liquid Academy to be our new mid laner at the LCS level. In addition to that, which I think that's been the thing that there's been a lot of conversation about, and we can circle back to that in a second. Tyler Perrin, who stepped in as our interim coach halfway through the split or a third of the way through the split, he did a fantastic job. And so we kind of gave him the head coach title permanently and extended him through next year. And we're really excited about everything he's going to do. We brought Especial, who was kind of a player coach at the academy level, up. And so he's a full-time coach at the LCS level, assistant coach for Tyler, kind of pro player perspective, strategic mind, and then going to focus a lot on bottom lane development and bot lane kind of positional coach. And then we made big upgrades at the academy tier. Especial moved up, so that freed up a spot. We let two players go, Jenkins in the top lane, Jurassic at AD carry. And so we brought in three players, each who've had a spell at the LCS and are kind of looking to prove that they're ready to get back there. Zig most recently at Optic, Benji, who was LOD before at AD carry, and Sheep at support. And so all of that, you know, and I think this is some of what was lost, all of that was to support kind of take some risks, push our guys, support the kind of development of our young players, and hopefully have a stronger summer split and beyond.
Yeah. Mark, feel free to hop in whenever you want. But I think one of the things that precipitated this, you being on the show this week, was you reached out to me about the idea of coming on Hotline League. We already had Parth on, but this was sort of following the events of an interview that came out with Blitz that was received with heavy criticism from the community. Do you want to sort of give your take on that? Because I think people felt as though, and the majority of the frustration that I saw, one, it seemed as though people were frustrated generally with Golden Guardians and sort of what they perceived to be like a lackluster roster and maybe a non-competitive team in the LCS, but also a move that removed a popular player, and one where you had sort of said in a variety of different ways, never so outright, that you removed High basically because he was not a very good mid laner anymore. So I don't know if you want to, you have not really said too much. I don't know if you've tweeted anything since that interview came out, but I'm curious if you have anything before we start getting into the callers, where I'm sure they'll talk and sort of share their take on that as well.
Yeah. You know, so I think we're really excited about this kind of suite of changes and the way, you know, we went into this, the spring split, really focusing on the development of four young players that we thought had a bright future and high ceilings, and they could be put in a kind of fresh position and get a chance to succeed. And we could invest in them, they could invest in us, we could grow as an organization together. You know, we were sort of constantly evaluating how we're doing against those development goals. You know, we made this whole bunch of changes that we thought would set us up better for kind of development in the summer split and beyond. I went to do interviews in part because I wanted to talk through those changes. There was some nuance, and based on the leak that Jacob Wolf did, I thought the, you know, changing High would be a little controversial. So you know, we wanted to kind of talk through the whole thing. Ultimately, we did like an hour's worth of interview at Blitz, and the kind of 13 minutes that they cut together, which I think maybe is the first of the Blitz often sort of chops, does a longer thing and chops it up into segments. So I think this is the first, or maybe it's the only one, was very much just focused on the High piece of that. And within there, and, you know, within the sort of hours of talking I did trying to lay this out, I said something I didn't mean, but ultimately was like way too harsh, unprofessional and kind of disrespectful of High. And there are some pull quotes and whatever. And so I guess I remember it a little bit in the moment, but we're talking moving on, and I had sort of forgotten about it. So when the thread popped up and I realized that that was going to be a big part of the kind of focus, and the reaction to it was really negative, understandably, I reached out to High immediately and apologized to him. I went to our you know, the team and talked through what had happened and apologized to them. You know, and here ultimately, and sort of the reason I reached out to you, is that I felt like that I wanted to get, you know, back in front of the camera, have an opportunity to talk things through, but also, you know, have an opportunity to apologize to our fans for really taking the wrong tack in kind of talking through this change and being kind of unnecessarily sort of disrespectful to High in the process. That's not who I am as a person, not who we are as an organization. And High deserved better than that as a sort of send off from us. That's part of why we're here. I also think, you know, it's a good chance to hopefully talk about some of the other things we're doing. You know, I think continuing to talk about High is probably a little bit of a trap, but we will sort of work our way through it as this goes on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll get a lot of people who are going to call in about that. And I know some people will talk about the move itself and like why it didn't work out, some of those questions. So I'll hold off my opinions until they get brought up more by the callers. The only thing I'd say is like I rewatched the interview today to prep for it, and like I understood what you were trying to say and how it came across. And I think what happened is the kind of typical Reddit problem where like someone pulls a quote out and most people don't watch it, and then they just build their opinion off that. Because the quote that the line that really got you in trouble was the you know, we felt like we had, it was something along the lines, I'm going to paraphrase here, something along the lines of, we had four good players and now with Mickey we have five or something. And like I think that was the line that most people clung on to, and then like the rest of the video didn't matter. So like I guess what were you explicitly trying to say there before I share my opinion on it?
I'm not sure it matters. I mean, I think ultimately it was probably too much high conversation at all. And I think one of the things I sort of watch, like Reggie, Jack, Steve, the guys who've been doing this for years, do such a good job of talking through both, you know, sort of players that are departing and also new players that are coming in, and kind of balancing a discussion of the future in a way that doesn't make it as much about whatever the reason was that somebody's moving on. Right. And I think I didn't do a good job of kind of handling that scenario more broadly. You know, I did a ton of amazing things for the organization, and I should have been talking a lot more about that than kind of letting myself, I think, get sucked into a conversation of explicitly why. Take me through exactly what High was doing wrong and why you kicked him from the team or why he's not a part of it anymore. And so I think there was sort of a broader problem, you know, that kind of predates any specific comment I made in there. That being said, like that comment itself was sort of way over the line, somewhat regardless of context, not entirely from context. So I guess that's the way I'd answer it. There's a way in which I don't feel like rehashing the exact context of that mm-hmm. sentence is like super relevant at this point.
Yeah, the Twitch chat is taking your statement about it doesn't matter to mean you saying that doesn't matter. Do you want to elaborate a little bit on what?
Yeah,
you
said? Sorry. So I guess my intentions there don't matter, right? So what I said, I think, was hurtful and mean and inappropriate. And what I meant in the face of that is sort of meaningless. And it's on me, right, to express myself with more clarity and consistency such that I'm not saying anything that is mean and harsh and unprofessional or whatever, you know, regardless of what I'm trying to say. And, you know, I think what you did right there, like giving me a chance to clarify in the moment because maybe something's being misunderstood. The problem with a fully canned interview that then gets hit to Reddit later, there isn't the opportunity maybe to back and forth and accidentally have talked myself into some hole that I'm 3 days later trying to talk myself back out of.
Sure. And other than that, I'd suggest you ignore Twitch chat because they're a bunch of crazy people. I'm trying to think if there's anything else we should talk about before we get just straight into the calls. I don't know, Mark, if you have something.
No, I mean, like I said, I think a lot of the actual moves themselves will get hopefully brought up by the callers. Like, I thought that was a bad move. I don't think Mickey will help, or whatever their opinions are. I think that's when I'll chime in on the specifics.
Yeah. The only thing I would say before we get, or actually, Mark, why don't you give your spiel so that we can start getting people queued up?
Yeah. So if you guys haven't watched the show before, the way this works is we have a Discord server that we're all using for audio here. And I'm going to spam it in chat. It's in Twitch chat right now. Check it out. You're going to want to join that server. And when you do, there's going to be text and voice channels. You're going to need to join a voice general channel, and you can mute yourself once you're in there. And then you'll need to join one of the text channels. And that is where you're going to post your quote unquote take and what you want to talk about. Please avoid really general stuff so I actually know what you're trying to talk about. So don't say like, I want to talk about the moves Golden Guardians made. It's like, that doesn't mean anything to me. And if you say, I think High wasn't the problem and I want to say that this is a bad move, great. That's a little bit more specific and I can pull that question. Once we do that, I'll pull you from your general voice chat into the waiting room to do some mic tests, make sure you're good before putting you on air.
And the only thing, while Mark is collecting questions and discussion topics there, as is the case with about every piece of content that I do with Hunter, I just want to disclose, like, Hunter and I have worked together previously. I consider him a close friend. We hang out in similar groups. That presents an obvious conflict of interest. there's going to be a lot of people that immediately say, well, then I shouldn't watch this show, or like Travis will just defend it. Look, here's how tonight is going to go. Mark is going to pull questions from the chat and from the Discord or whatever. And then you guys are going to call in. I will help moderate the conversation. But I'm not like here to defend Hunter or to whatever. It's going to be Hunter and you guys and probably more Mark than me, to be honest, for tonight. So that's trying to create like a forum to facilitate a conversation between the community and Hunter and, you know, Mark kind of injecting his opinions as time goes on. The only other thing I would add to that, though, is that I do expect everyone to be respectful and polite. So if you think like a good amount of feedback would say like, hey, I think High was better than Mickey, and I don't understand Hunter. I'd like to hear him explain what made them think about Mickey instead of High. Calling in and saying like, Hunter sucks and should lose his job, or Immortals was a much better team than Golden Guardians. Like, Hunter, you suck, or what? Like, that's the type of stuff where I'm just gonna, you know, end the conversation because this is supposed to be a polite show. That's the type of content I like to create. So,
I mean, sometimes we let it devolve into like bullshit and memery, but I don't think this is one of those episodes.
Yeah, and by the way, like I know we're starting on this this more serious conversation, but if you guys want to talk about something that's a little bit more chill or whatever, this doesn't need to feel like the Inquisition with everybody calling it to flog Hunter or whatever. We can talk about all sorts of different stuff as well. So it doesn't need to be 2 hours of that, but hope you guys do appreciate the chance here to have a conversation about all this stuff. It's a little different than I think the way a lot of people approach. Hunter's so nervous he's already left. Oh no, he's
no, back. No. My he's wife barfing. Got home, so I'm able to close the door to this room, and
I'm gonna go get somebody.
Okay, cool. Very good. As we get into the first call, I do want to thank a couple people who have sent in some support to the show. Let's see. So far, we've got the Dranzagor, an Ivysaur. Poro on Mars sent 100 bits and said looking forward to back-to-back Hotline League. Bonzo TV subbed. Froskern sent 10 bucks, said a really nice thing to me. Cerubix sent 100 bits. Lil Do DC. Mark, are you getting the next caller?
Yeah, I didn't know if you want me to pull him if you were ready.
Oh, I'm ready. Sorry, I thought I heard you say you were good.
Yeah, I went up, but I didn't.
Gotcha. We'll continue on with the conversation first. First off, we've got Emo Acti. Is that how you pronounce your name?
Emo is fine.
Emo. Okay, we're just going to call you Emo. I'm turning you up a little bit because you're a little quiet. But,
all right.
Where are you calling in from, Emo?
I'm calling from Montevideo, Uruguay.
From where?
Uruguay.
Montevideo, Uruguay.
Oh, yeah. Very cool. Well, glad to have an international caller on. Do you watch much NALCS?
Every weekend, and I watch this show every week too.
Oh, thank you, Emo.
It's
really
fair to say he's a big fan. Yes. Yeah.
I watch you like from State of the League, so I love you, Travis.
Thank you.
Thank you for everything you've done for the
league. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. That's very nice of you. I'd love to have you just continue to talk for a while, but maybe we should get to the reason you called in. What do you want to talk about on the show?
Oh, all right. So even though Hunter has said something hurtful, in my opinion, he did tell the truth. Hai wasn't really a good player. He was a good shot caller, but that doesn't make him a good player. Skill-wise, he was always behind, I think, every single mid laner or so. So I think he did hold GGS back. But I believe also, well, that was the take, right? But I also think it would have been better to keep him as a like strategic coach, maybe psychological coach, and don't focus on him being a bad player, but instead on what he did bring positively into the team. And Hunter just said that, so I agree with him. And he messed up, but we all do, right?
Yeah.
So go ahead, Mark.
Okay, so I think now that we're on the topic of High, I agree to an extent. Like, I don't think anyone on that team was like hands down should not be in the league level of skill. But I think like it was a team that didn't really function how it was supposed to function. Well, like when you watch them play the games, like High had almost double the next closest person's negative CSD at 10. And then like it got even worse at 15 and 20. Like he was just clearly not capable of like holding his own in lane. It felt like versus the current mid pool, or he was intentionally at, you know, the best spin you can put on is that he was intentionally putting himself behind to make things happen on the map. And either way, that was like not working for them. So like I understand wanting to change things up, especially if the development focus side of it and his skill set not being translatable and teachable to other people is coming to fruition behind the scenes. So I think like in that sense, I definitely agree with the caller.
Well, Hunter, here's your chance. You can go back in on high skills again. No, just kidding. time to double down. No. So it sounds like Emo kind of agrees with the roster change, but one thing he did kind of bring up is the possibility of like having High stick around as a coach or sort of to help behind the scenes with the performance of the players. Is there, you know, was there any kind of conversation around that, or why didn't you guys sort of have High help out there?
Yeah, so we talked to High about a number of possibilities, and ultimately, like, I think he's just not very interested in coaching. And I think I can't remember if this made the Blitz interview or not, but, I think High is a doer. I think he has a ton of self-confidence. It's sort of infectious and amazing. And it's one of his just like tremendous skills and part of what makes him a strong leader. And I think High could be a good coach, a great coach, if that was something he really wanted to do. But ultimately, he wasn't particularly interested in that role and wants to kind of carve a new path for himself, which I think he talked about in his AMA. And he's done a lot of streaming and other things to sort of to kind of get some more perspective or his perspective out there. So, I think if that was something High circled back to, at some point, I think he could be amazing at it. But he's not interested in that, at least right now.
Emo, do you have any other thoughts on the Golden Guardians organization or, you know, anything that you'd like to see from them?
Following up what I said, I think if High's major skill point was shot calling, he wasn't really doing a good job at that either, because GGS macro was a mess in my opinion, like all split. And I'm also curious about if bringing Special to the main team was ever a possibility, because I believe he could bring experience and shot calling to the team, and also I think Special was always a really good support, and Matt maybe isn't that, even though Matt is fine. I'm not blaming him.
Yeah. So I think that's an interesting question. So I guess I'd say two things. I think we saw, distinct flashes of what Matt is capable of. If you look at the Rakan games that he had, the Shen games that he had, and I think you kind of look at the bottom lane overall, our bottom lane, I think, was one of the strengths of the team. And, Matt is literally 50% of that. But also, I think the support, especially in terms of laning presence and that structure, is by far the biggest voice. I also think, we didn't see the best that Matt was capable of consistently. And some of that is, I think, putting him, sort of improving the environment around him and making sure that he's set up for success. I think Special knows, and that he has an hour long interview, I think, with Jacob Wolf that you can find out there, that coaching is his future, something he and I have been talking about for years. When I was at Riot, I was kind of getting to know the players for the first time and talking to the Team Liquid guys a lot, because I happen to be just sort of physically near them, more often, but a bunch of the players about where they are right now, where do they see themselves in the future, how is, their sort of esports career progressed. And I think Special knows coaching is his future, or it's likely his future. And he has a tremendous number of kind of natural skills that I think will make him excellent at that. And we saw sort of pieces of that in his kind of player coach role at Academy this past split. And, I think you can find the interview for him to talk more about that. But ultimately, I think him moving into a full-time coaching role with the team is the right decision, but for us, especially, but also for him.
Yeah. Jacob in the chat right now, ready to plug I think he must have shown up
in the chat.
Yeah. He just showed up ready at just the time to plug the
ESPN. He's got the URL ready to go.
Exactly.
He also instantly got gifted he was just like waiting. He's like, all right. He's like, I'm sensing a plug opportunities here. Yeah. He also instantly got gifted a sub, so he can, Jacob, I expect you to use my emotes in every Twitch chat that you go to in honor of the gift that you were given today. It's the greatest gift one esports personality can get, is just a sub to this channel. So thank you so much.
Yeah, and if anyone has any inside info that they want to give to Jacob Wolf, you just have to say his name in a mirror three times and he'll show up to make the deal.
That is true. Emo, that's a good question. I'm glad you brought up the special thing. Any parting thoughts before we move on to the next caller?
To be completely honest, when I read the Reddit quote, I was like, whoa, what is this guy doing? But I understand the thought process of the change, and I agree with it. As he said, like, his way wasn't perfect, but I thank you for having me. Good job.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you, Emo. Really appreciate it.
Fantastic.
Yeah. All right, moving on to the next caller. And we should have somebody in a second as Mark goes off to grab some people. Do you want to say thank you to Lil Dodicey for the sub? Rico Suave, who resubbed. It's been 4 months. He's been on the show before. hello. This guy's name, Project Cream Pie, donated $10 and said, if you bet Travis Engel number 2 in Mark's place for the rest of the show, I'll donate 10 more buckaroos. I don't know what that means. Hashtag farewell, Mark. Oh, I see.
That means the other camera.
Yeah, the other camera. That's no longer, yes, very good. Next up, we've got on the show, Jarge. How do you pronounce that?
Okay, so can we get this straight? It's been Jarge. It's like a hard J because my real name is Josh. And when I was, I guess, like really young, my sister tried to say like Joshua and said Jarjua. So it's been Jarge forever. Okay. But people keep calling me Yarg and Yahay. I think Jat actually said Yahay on stream in the actual LCS broadcast. So a lot of people have been kind of wondering for a while, but it's Jarge with a hard J.
Good to hear that, Jargy. Where are you calling from, Jargy?
I'm in LA.
So okay.
I'm in Santa Monica.
In Los Angeles. I'm like
probably 50 feet from you, maybe. Yeah.
Have you, for those that don't know who you are, because familiar name and the accent sounds about right, do you want to give a little bit of context for who you are?
Sure. I'm Jarge. I am a former analyst for Team Liquid, former co-gen analyst for TSM, former analyst for Fnatic, LCS teams, been around for a fair while now.
Yeah. You haven't announced what you're doing next yet, right?
No, I'm not doing anything next at the moment. Right now I have some personal issues to take care of, so I'm taking a small lapse of free agency, and I've opted to just kind of play the field of it, and then we'll see what happens. So,
well, good news. It's really Mark,
that most people won't see me till next play anyways.
Mark is equally unemployed, so you guys can just hang out together.
Well, I'm actually leaving in 7 days, so.
Mark, you've got a short window of time to hang out with Jargy.
Gotta get on.
Darn it. Yeah. You're like my fucking mom. Like, hey, did you know that Jimmy's in too? Jimmy's not doing anything. Like,
is it no Jimmy? Mom. Is it?
Listen, Yarmy?
Yummy?
Mark, much like your mom, I've just been trying to get you some friends.
When something I go home, interesting like the going holidays, on in your life. She's like, hey, these people you haven't hung out with ever are in town that are my friends' kids. I'm like, no, I don't want to hang out with them. I don't know them.
We've all just been trying to help you all these years, Mark.
Do I
somebody.
Have like a help me sign? Is this shirt? I thought it was a clean.
You just shirt, you give off that vibe. Says, like, you need help connecting
need help.
With other people.
It's just a vibe.
All right, Jorg, what did you want to talk about on the show today?
All right, so I guess we'll preface this with I think the swap from Hyde to Mickey is like fine if that's what you want.
What was your involvement with Mickey? Sorry to interrupt you. I'm kind of curious because you were on show.
I actually worked with Mickey briefly at the end of 2017 when he moved to the TL main team and played with this for the promotion tournament. And obviously, he's been on our academy team, so I've kind of. I don't really have super loads of involvement with the academy team. I mostly work with the main team, but our LCS team. Both teams are equal.
Sure.
But Yeah, I've not really had like super loads of interaction with Mickey. Obviously, I've seen him around. I speak to him sometimes, and I speak to the academy players, and I'm really close with the academy coach Tim. So I know a lot about Mickey, but most of it's secondhand information. But that's not mostly what I'm here to talk about. Mostly what I'm here to talk about is the mostly the line that Hunter's been saying about how Golden Guardians is a development focused org, which I think is fine. Like, if that's how you want to kind of be as an organization, if that's your philosophy, I think that's perfectly fine. Like, there needs to be development focused orgs in LCS, and it makes sense that it's you. So what I really want to know is like what changes can be made now, and like what development opportunities can be made now that High is not on the team, that you can with Mickey. Because in my experience, like, I think communication is like the most important part of the game. And this is where League is evolving, is like how well your team can coordinate. And that just requires good communication. And I think personally, it's going to be more difficult to develop players with a non-native English speaking player. And I'm just interested to know, like, what is your philosophy on like this change, why it's good and why it's better for development?
Okay, sure. I mean, I think, I guess what I would say is, I think the question is framed, I think, somewhat limitedly in the sense that it's like a High versus Mickey discussion, which is,
okay, sure,
you know,
yeah.
So some of the problems. So putting that aside for the moment, like, yeah. You know, I think what we're opting into, you know, is we're sort of creating intentionally kind of a leadership vacuum, or the way I think more positively look at it is we're creating opportunities for the flashes of kind of comm strength, leadership strength that we saw in our four young players over the course of the first split, for them to really like try to grab the reins on that and see where they can go. And so I can kind of go position by position, but each player really showed kind of a unique time in the game, and also sort of role outside of the game that they were really strong in or had an interest in, or, you know, something that we could talk to them about and grow. And I think with less kind of leadership on the team, you know, with High gone, there's room in a sense for them to really take on some of that. And we're excited to see that. I think Sam in particular is this like really clear Lorlo. Communicator, strong, level-headed. Yeah, Lorlo, sorry. A really like strong, level-headed voice. He's really good at kind of checking in with his teammates, seeing when they get maybe off the rails or on tilt or other things, both in game and outside of game. And so I think there's room for him to kind of really step into a leadership role, not necessarily in terms of like he's our clear shot caller and everything will run by whatever he says. But I think there, as you would know, there's like a bunch of different ways in which you can be a leader on the team. And I think that's I think that's the way we'll sort of look to Sam to do that. I think Mickey will probably still be one of the go buttons on this team. Him and Contracts, I think, will be our sort of forward looking, forward playing players who will really be the go voice. And I think it'll be on Matt in a way that I think he wasn't always as comfortable doing in Spring Split, to sort of be the no voice or the calming influence in the way this roster comes together. And those are new opportunities, I think, you know, for Juan Contracts and for Matt, you know, and I think we'll try to see if they can develop in that space. And so there's a way in which, you know, by creating problems or a void, we're giving opportunities for our players to grow, and we sort of needed one, I think, to get the other, in a number of different areas. I agree that like language barrier, you know, is an issue, and it's one that we'll have to work to solve. You know, and we were sort of quietly looking for more support in that area, and we can sort of less quietly look now that, you know, we're not trying to hide a particular change or whatever. And so those are, you know, additional skills that we'll be looking to bring on to make sure that, you know, Mickey is set up for success and the team is set up for a success at all. But again, you know, like, it really isn't, there is like the one for one player swap, but it's part of a much broader suite of changes that are designed to continue pushing development forward.
Okay.
Hunter, when you say intentional leadership vacuum, it sounds really like that's such a strange term, I guess is what I would say. Like,
haven't you seen any of those mob movies where you whack the guy at the top and then everyone tries to become the new
I know what a power vacuum is. I understand the concept of it, but saying like we're creating an intentional leadership vacuum does sound a little funky. Like,
well, I guess the other way to say it is like it was going to be impossible for one person to replace everything that Hai was doing as a leader for this team, both in and out of game. And so I think it would be kind of silly to pretend that like we got it. Yes, we're taking one of the best leaders in the history of League of Legends and in NA is gone. But don't worry, these other five guys are just going to do all of that and it's going to be fine. You know, that's a risk, right? It's like a big risk for us, but it's calculated in the sense that I think we thought long and hard about, you know, whether we would be able to, you know, whether this was the, we needed to kind of create these opportunities and our players, you know, we'd be able to step in and sort of backfill a lot of that stuff. And we don't know, but we're going to see. And I think the flashes of what we saw in each of these guys and getting to know them and spending a lot of time with them and the coaches working with them and other things, is something that we thought, they'd be able to step in and handle. And so when I say sort of kind of like creating a leadership vacuum, that is sort of a colorful way of saying like Hai is irreplaceable. And you know, it's on each of us to kind of step in and handle pieces of that and try to, you know, collectively, right, like put all of that back together.
I think one of the interesting things I saw in that initial interview that got you in some trouble was the point about how like Hai and his skill set not being like super translatable or like teaching. It's more like he'll tell you the right thing to do and he wants you to seemingly, you know, kind of just follow it. Like he'll end up being like the brain for a lot of the team. And so like I can see that stance where it's like, well, if he's always making the decisions and being the leader on the team, then they're not developing that skill set on their own. So I can see that point.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead.
So, I mean, I've worked with Lolo and Matt, and I think both of them are super good players. I think in the right environment, they can be truly great players. They're both super introspective, very intelligent outside of the game. But really, kind of more of what I was looking for is like, what are the changes that your organization is making as a development-focused org to like really create this change? Like, it's really easy to say, like, we're going to create a pressure, we're going to create this like leadership vacuum and the players are just going to step up. But as an organization, do you not feel that you have some obligation to kind of support that growth process? And like, what I'm really asking is like, what processes like are you putting in place to kind of make that happen?
Okay, perfect. So I that's just a new level of detail. That's fine. So we went into the offseason, you know, I think it was March 20th, right, the day after our final game, and we sat down with every player and talked through, you know, what went well, what didn't go well, what, you know, they need in terms of support going forward, what, you know, what we want to work on collectively over the offseason. We sort of came up with homework, worked with coaches. So, you know, we kind of had a bunch of different scenarios for how we thought the offseason might go. And we kind of talked through potentialities and ultimately, like, we gave each player a specific set of homework surrounding, you know, kind of the skill set that we were looking for them to develop, and, you know, a partner in a coach who was going to kind of work with them both on what they could do when they were, you know, on their own, right, like back at home or during their break or, you know, just sort of doing solo queue, and also, you know, what our sort of focus would be when they got back. You know, for Juan, right, it's like we're going to try to really turn the first 15 minutes of the game over to you. You know, and kind of take advantage of your natural strengths, and kind of sensing where the other jungler is and what's going on there, and see if like you can be the leader and caller of these first 15 minutes. And so, you know, we have a kind of a plan for kind of solo queue, kind of break time. And then when we get back, there's going to be a number of different sort of, scrim focus sessions. I'm not exactly sure how to word it on kind of working Juan through some of those things, along with pairing him, you know, kind of VOD review and other things. I guess I'm not sure what level of detail you're really looking for. So I didn't give it to you the first time. Am I getting kind of closer to what you're asking?
I think, yeah. Jarg, do you mind if I, like, I think one way to phrase this question, and feel free to tell me if I'm wrong, is, all right, so you're going to go into this next split. You're going to have this leadership vacuum. Is there anything you guys are doing to help build leaders, right? Rather than just sort of saying, okay, here's this void, let's see what happens. Is there something that Golden Guardians will be doing to try to like develop like a captain or leader or whatever? Is that right, Jordan?
Yeah. Basically what I'm asking is like, as a new organization, like you want to be a development focused organization, but like, what are you doing to be better at developing players than other orgs are? Because if you're developing players slower than other organizations who don't have like such new talent. Like, you have an opportunity here to develop some new talent, and like, what are you doing that's going to set you to, that's going to really develop you as the development organization, which you say you want to be?
Yeah. So not, I mean, like, okay. That's fine. So, I think among other things, right? Like, just having the space for players in which to develop, I think is one thing that sets us apart as a development oriented organization, right? Like, you know, teams have more or less sort of rookie or younger players on them. And then within the structure of their team, there's more or less space for that player to, you know, take risks and try out new things and sort of grow. And I think one thing that kind of sets us apart is that we're sort of risk tolerant in that sense. And we want to give players the opportunity to fail and try again and do other things. And I think that's part of being a strong development organization, is making sure that, you know, players have the ability to try and fail and try again and learn. In addition to that, right, like, I think the focus of our culture in terms of communication style and facilitation and the kind of strengths of our coaches and of our players is one that's really focused on learning lessons and communicating, not necessarily being like hyper results driven, especially in practice time. But you know, I think one of the strengths of the organization in a tough spring split was that we were going to really focus on what we can learn in each situation and not let results, good or bad, sort of sway the progress of the team too much. You know, we're changing that a little bit. In addition, like, I think we're working, you know, every player's got their own kind of trajectory, and getting to know them and looking at strengths and weaknesses and also where they want to go, we're in position to kind of put a curated growth plan in front of them. And so for Sam, that, for example, you know, he really wanted to read this offseason and find books that would let him talk about or kind of learn about ways to step into new leadership roles, how to motivate people, how to think through what he's doing and how that relates to other people. And so, you know, we worked on putting a plan together that would get him some titles that were interesting and put him in better position to kind of develop those skills. And then when he comes back, he has an opportunity to kind of put those into practice and learn. I'm getting Travis's face is maybe indicating that I'm still not quite answering.
No, it's fine. I'm just, Mark is chatting about anime in the Twitch chat. So we've lost Mark.
They asked me a question. You want me to just ignore Twitch chat? Yeah. I'm listening to all of this.
Yes, yeah, listen to our guest.
I am listening. Jarge is asking great questions. I don't want to get in the way.
No, it's fine. So I think among other things, right, like being development oriented means making sure that your players have the support they need to try, to learn, to fail, or to try and fail if necessary, hopefully succeed, you know, learn and grow. I think there's kind of a patience that's, you know, necessary as part of that historically hasn't been, you know, super prevalent in esports given the relegation nature and just instability in general.
Yeah, I mean, Hunter, like a good way to sum it up is kind of it sounds like what you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that like on a team like Cloud9 or TSM or I don't know, 100 Thieves maybe, if a player has a really bad split, they will possibly be replaced because the plan is to like win next split. But for you guys, you're more willing to have them stick around.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think there's certainly teams in our situation who would have made more drastic changes to ensure that they got, you know, they got different results in the summer split. But we really believe in these guys and invested in them and, you know, want them to continue to invest in us. And so, you know, we're going to take a lot of what we saw in the spring split and try to double down on it and sort of shore up weaknesses or give them new opportunities.
Yeah. And relegations is on. So you can...
Six
splits in a row that you're allowed to finish 9th, 10th before you have to worry.
It's five of eight. So
five of eight,
something like that. We got time.
I have one more question. Do we have much time? Can I ask? Just it's along the same line of questioning. Am I taking up too much?
No, time? Just wrap it up if you can. It's fine.
Sure.
I just want
to kind of touch on your academy team. As the development focus org, I want to know, why are you replacing three of your academy players? Obviously, one of them is special and he's going to a coaching position, which I think is a great role for him. But you're replacing two of your really new players who have only really been playing the last year with Zig. You've replaced them with Zig, Sheep, and Benji, who is Lod, all of whom have been around for at least 4-ish years. So as a development focused organization, why are you replacing these really new players with what are essentially veterans of like the academy or low tier LCS teams?
Yeah, so I think that's a great question. So I think it's a pretty simple answer, and I think this is true of the other orgs also. Our academy team's job is to you know, be a piece of a larger organization, right? And so you kind of corrected yourself when you said main team, and then we're like other team about the LCS team. But, you know, we're all like a big family, and our job is to be the best organization top to bottom that we can be. And so, you know, I think when we were looking at what we need for summer, and we're doing more development at the LCS level than some of the other teams are. So, you know, I think most academy teams are going to kind of serve to support their LCS team in one form or another. And for teams that don't need maybe direct talent replacement or, you know, really solid, they can take flyers on longer term players or something like that. We needed a team, you know, and this is the big change from spring to summer, that was in better position to directly push and be a scrim partner and kind of practice partner, strategic partner for our LCS squad. We didn't have that. Some of that is that, you know, our players were, I think, a little too green, and we bit off more than we could chew there. And so we're intentionally kind of bringing the skill level of the academy team up with veterans who I think are going to be in a great position to show that they're ready to get back to the LCS. And I think that is like one of the major things that we didn't, you know, I wasn't very successful at talking about, that is going to help our LCS guys grow even faster, is that they have this really strong partner at the academy level to help support their growth. And so I can see how that's kind of counterintuitive, that you could say, like, we should take the five greenest players at the LCS level and the five greenest players at the academy level, and that's what a development-oriented team is going to do. I just think that's, in a sense, almost a too simplistic approach to the situation. We're looking to create upward mobility for our four and now five really young players at the LCS, and sort of asking the question, what do these guys need to succeed? And what they need to succeed at the academy level, as opposed to Spring Split, is a really strong partner down there. And so that's like what we intentionally set out to find. We're players who are going to be able to step right in and provide an excellent scrim partner. We're coming back, you know, earlier than the other teams to kind of get started right away. And part of that is so that we have an academy team that can be a really good partner for our LCS team and then continue that on throughout the split.
Is that how you argue? You have anything you jarg? You have anything?
No, I think that pretty much covers it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it. It was fun having you on the show.
Maybe I'll thanks for calling in.
Hopefully you can stick around in North America.
Probably not, but thank you anyway.
Do you like England's weather better, or do you like LA?
No, I like a lot of things about England. The weather obviously is really shit. LA weather is really nice, and LA food is really nice. It's just like, there's just really no place like home. Like, people say it, but it's like really true. Like, I've been in America for the last like three calendar years, and honestly, like, I miss my family, I miss my friends, and it's going to be great to be back. Honestly.
I agree. There is no place as bad as England.
Wow.
Well, folks,
I've only been there once.
Jesus Christ. Why did you shit on an entire nation? Holy shit.
You know, my family did a family vacation in England. They asked if I wanted to go, and I was just like, nah, I'm good.
Wow.
Travis, wow. Have you been anywhere that isn't London?
I'd like to go back.
I was in London twice.
Have you been anywhere that isn't London?
Hey, it was great having you on the show, Jarg. Best of luck in the future.
Exactly. All right.
Okay. Mark, why don't I... Oh, Mark.
Let's talk about London read your things.
Where'd he go? He's not even in the waiting room. Oh, he is in the waiting
room. He's out.
Mark, wait. I need to do the commercial.
What?
I'll set it back. Okay. Here we go. Here we go. Really quickly, everyone. I want to talk to you guys about something. I want to level with you about something that's been on my mind a lot lately. This is a company that provides a lot of support to me personally, also to Mark, also the show. You guys might have heard of them before. They're called Omen by HP. That's right. They are the show, or they're the main sponsor for the show. Right now, the only sponsor for the show. And they are fantastic. In fact, you guys can't see as well anymore because of the new camera. I'll have to fix that, but I've got their laptop right behind me. Use this whenever I'm on the road. We use this in Miami when I traveled. We'll be using it if or when I go to MSI. We are streaming this from an Omen by HP computer. I'm looking at it on an Omen by HP monitor. I have to say, I've loved all the gear that I've used that they've sent me, and it's been a pretty good experience working with these guys.
Are we done? I just came back.
You know, sometimes you do a show and you partner with someone and you're like, oh, what a disaster. But then you partner with a company who are just amazing. And that's really what has happened with Hotline League, is Owen by HP is an amazing partner, unlike some of the other people I've had to partner with for this show. And I've really appreciated their support. They got into the space a couple years ago, realized the value of competitive gaming and esports, and really decided they wanted to support everything from things like Overwatch League all the way down to a little inky-dinky itsy-bitsy show like this. Just a minuscule blip on the radar of esports like Hotline League. And, you know, it's their support that allows the show to exist and for people like yourselves to call in and have this discussion. Anyway, they are doing, by the way, they do a dojo show, is what they call it. The Omen Dojo, I believe, is the name of it. You can check it out. They tweet about it over on Omen by HP, their Twitter account, but they stream it on Twitch. It's a show that they do most recently with CLG members, is what I've been able to keep an eye on. And I don't know, you guys can go check it out. I think they've got another one planned coming up shortly. I'm sure they have information about that over on their social, but why don't I, you know, in the Twitch chat, I'll just type in their link, their Twitch link, and you can go check them out and maybe give them a follow, and you can check out some awesome content that they're making with CLG, a team that they sponsor, much like they sponsor this show. So thank you so much to Omen by HP for their support. And if you appreciate their support, go check them out on Twitter, say hello, say we sent you, because they make stuff like this happen. So thanks so much to Omen by HP. All right, moving on. We have another caller coming in just a moment. Mark, are they ready?
Yeah, I just pulled them in.
Okay. Okay, very good. And on the show, we've got Jedi Mace. How's it going, Jedi Mace?
Good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from La Mirada, California.
La Mirada. Okay, so not too far away.
Where what that do
you, is. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
What do you want
Southern
to talk
about? Southern California, I'm guessing. Because
Southern California,
heard.
Yes. What do you want to talk about on the show?
So my question was directly of, I understand that Golden Guardians wanted to be a developmental focused organization, building young talent, mostly around Deathly and Contracts. They seem to be like your younger players that you want to build around. But you also brought in Matt, Lore, Low, and High, who are the more veterans on the squad in the league. I've been a longtime TL fan, so I can understand how you saw potential in Matt and Lorlo, because in their first split or two, they looked really promising. My question more is, being as a developmental organization, what were you thinking in bringing Matt, Lorlo, and Hayden, who wanted to be or more veterans in the league, rather than building more are bringing more players like Deathly and Contracts in, who are more young? You don't know really what you're going to get out of them. Contracts looked really good on C9, obviously, because he played the last year was his full first year. But Deathly was kind of more of the challenger scene. So that's kind of my question of, why did you want to build around those three veterans, especially Matt and Lorlo, rather than just more players such as like Deathly and Contracts?
And I guess just to throw a point there, do you consider 2 full years of playing in the LCS a veteran, or like what term would you use for a person like that? Because they're clearly not like, you know, completely fresh faces.
Right. I would say that 2 years is probably like veteran status. They're definitely not young, but I think in league and in esports, I think 2 years gives you quite a large sample size. They're pretty experienced in the league. Especially like Matt and Lorlo, right, who were one game away from going to finals. I'm pretty sure like they finished first place one split in the regular season. So like they know what it takes to get to the top. They're not just like being carried by, I mean, at that point it was Piglet. So they weren't just being carried at all. So I feel like they're pretty much veterans in the league.
Just as a quick fact check, Mark, is that, I don't recall.
They were one game away from going to finals. There was that double TP play. They never finished first in the regular season. That was the split before that one, when they had Quas, myself, Piglet, Xspecial, and they finished first.
Also, Mark, did your microphone change again, or is it just that you're leaning so far back?
I'm getting. I don't know. Sorry, I was.
So yeah, I think I'm gonna say, like, I think High is in a different level of veteran status than Matt and Lorlo. So let's just create a distinction there and say, like, I think Matt and Laura, like, we had the youngest team in the league before, and I realize that experience and age are not exactly the same, but they're sort of related in a way. And I think it, you know, in those two, this would not be the first time I think that you've seen players have a change of scenery, and that really lead to a blossoming in their career, right? Like Hanser was on Gravity, right, and then moved to TSM, and we really saw him make a jump. Smoothie bounced around a little before he kind of landed in Cloud9 and really like had his moment, and you know, and we've seen how great he can be. You know, Hakuho, right? Like there are a bunch of players in NA who sort of got their start somewhere, wasn't the right situation for a lot of different reasons. You know, kind of instability in the league, and they really had a jump. So you know, when I look at Lorlo at 19, right? Matt is 20. You know, Deathly's 20. Contracts is 18. These are four really young players, like overall, who are in their first, you know, coming out of maybe their first environment. Ever. Contracts had success at C9, so there's no, like, you know, we're not expecting this to be the environment where suddenly you see the best that he's capable of. But I don't think it's crazy to say the flashes that you saw at TL, you know, like a lot of other players, when they get into, you know, a more stable environment or a different environment, you're going to see that potential really, like, you know, fully unlocked. And I think that's like the expectation, you know, in bringing those guys in, right? That they are still with 2 years, right? Like lots of experience. You can see the good and the bad. You can also see that there is a long career in front of both of them, and the opportunity for them to be every good as they've sort of shown at moments, as you saw as a TL fan. So I would just sort of draw like a distinction. I think those two are much closer to Contracts and Deathly, you know, where they are in their trajectory, you know, somewhat where they are in their life than they are to High.
Jedi Mace, how do you feel about sort of the distinction that while maybe Matt and Lorlo are not complete rookies, that they might not be veterans? Do you feel like that's fair, or do you want to rebuttal?
Or even if they're veterans within like whatever, you know, 2 years is some kind of cutoff, fine. That I think they have a ton of career in front of them, and having both flourished and struggled in one environment, I think are primed to really succeed in a second one.
Yeah, I definitely agree that them and High are obviously in different classes in terms of veteran status. But I would definitely say that they're much different from Deathly and Contracts. Contracts obviously closer to them because he had playoff experience, right, with C9 and the pressure games. And I actually really like Lorlo. I'm like a fan of his. I just like how hyphy gets and how much he's devoted to the game. So I think he's a serviceable LCS player. And Matt, I like him as a person. Just like from what I've known from like their squad videos, he just seems like a really cool guy and really genuine, obviously really devoted to the game and works really hard. But it's also fair to say like he's had much better AD carries, and when that happens, he's obviously looked a lot better. And when he hasn't had somebody like a Piglet, right, who's super mechanically gifted, he doesn't look that great, and he makes a lot of mistakes of not only mistakes in lane, but like just getting caught out a lot in team fights or when the team fight's about to happen. And so as a developmental focused organization, I would understand bringing in someone who's new, like Deathly, right, who's just played in the academy or something like that, who hasn't had a lot of experience making those same mistakes, but yet he's growing in the organization, rather than somebody like Matt, who's had a bunch of pressure games and had a chance to shine and has done so at moments, but also failed a lot as well, and still saying that we're going to develop them as the players. While it's possible, I think that it's better to go with new players who haven't had that opportunity and make maybe like the same mistakes, but still grow and have more like a higher ceiling than knowing what Lorlo and Matt's ceiling is already. Maybe you haven't seen it, like you still have a chance that they're going to go really high and have a really high ceiling, but you kind of already seen their ceiling in TL, right, when they're 1 game away from finals.
Let me paraphrase a little bit of Jedi's question, which is why not go with, if you guys are going to be the developmental org, why not go with more Deathlys? Deathly was the only person you pulled from Challenger. Why not try to find more Challenger players, or really kind of embrace the idea of like, hey, these are a bunch of fresh faces?
Yeah, so I guess I would just turn it around in a sense, like, if their ceiling is one game from Worlds, like one double TP play that, you know, sort of a coin flip, and sorry, not from Worlds, but from finals, like that's a pretty high ceiling, right? Like that's not so bad. If that's like you're going to say we're going to take the best they've shown in terms of where they finished, you know, potentially at the end of a split and just define that as their ceiling, I think that's pretty good. Most teams would want players that are capable of playing at an LCS finals level, you know, from there. So, but I would say maybe we just kind of agree to disagree on where their ceilings are, because I think they're a little bit higher than yours. In terms of like dropping sort of further down, right? I think if you look at the overall pool of players, you want to find sort of two things, right? Like you're looking for people with a lot of career left in front of them, which is somewhat age and somewhat experience. And also, you know, you're looking for a really high ceiling. I guess it's three things. You're looking for a really high ceiling, and then you're looking for, you know, the kind of personality and mindset that can lead to growth. People who are self-aware, self-critical, disciplined and hardworking. And those guys check all of those boxes, and we're, you know, going to be ready to step right into the LCS. There's a way in which I think if you take too many risks at once, you create too much of a volatile mix. It's hard to kind of measure each variable if you're making too many changes. And I think if you said, we're going to take five just raw challenger players and throw them in, it's going to be much harder to tell what's working and what's not working because you have less sort of known quantities in some ways. And so I think we can still be, you know, very development oriented by having young players who have shown some of what, you know, they can do, but not necessarily unlock that consistently, and really see if we can get them to be the peak, you know, that we've seen or higher on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I think my opinion is like if you take five players who have close to no experience and put them together, like they're just going to get smashed. And it's hard to learn like what you want to work on when everything is just kind of like getting destroyed. And so like a lot of these players that you see come up who as young players succeed, it's usually in an environment where there's other like stabilizing players, like contracts join C9. It's like, great. Well, they have Impact and they have Jensen, they have Sneaky and they have Smoothie. So that's a pretty stable core to like slot someone into so that they can like more quickly reach their potential, I would say. So I can definitely understand the mindset of not just being like, yeah, let's get five challenger players because we want to develop the scene.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, I think that's something we saw on our academy team. That, you know, like the game is difficult. The way League is sort of a team game, it is hard for individuals, right? Like this is a, you know, something the subreddit memes about or circles around. But, you know, like the one play, how hard can one player carry? Like, you know, one player can lose you the game. Other things, I think like you need kind of a relatively high skill floor at each position in order to kind of get into the game and have a chance to grow and learn. And our academy team, I think, struggled at times to play the game consistently enough across its roles to really let each player have opportunities to explore the mid game or explore, you know, later game scaling champions or other things. It's part of what made that environment, I think, harder from a development standpoint. And so I think you'd run a lot of that risk at the LCS level, along with the pressure and expectations and everything else that comes along with playing in the spotlight. I mean, if you think guys are hard on our team or, you know, right now, I think you can imagine how much harsher it might be, and it might be on the org if things were even worse.
Before we move on to the next caller and say goodbye to Jedi Mace, Snoopy938 in Twitch chat says GGS is basically blaming one player for their troubles. That was something I saw some people kind of react to with the high thing. Don't bother looking for it. It's but
no. I believe you.
Yeah.
Wait, looking for it in chat. No, I think I can see it actually. Snoopy938. There it is. So let me be clear. No, if I know that's how I came off. So, you know, just give me a second to say we were not intent because of High. This was not High's fault by any means. I think we put him in a very difficult position and he performed admirably and you know, tremendously given everything. So, you know, I am not, it is not High's fault by any means. And that's why, like, I think the unfortunate part about the way the Blitz interview came off is that it seemed like we were making this one change and that's going to fix everything. Like, we're making a whole bunch of changes, you know, and we expect that those collectively will make a big difference on where the team is going and what kind of, you know, development we're going to see in summer split. And so I don't think this is High's fault. We're not in 10th because of High. You know, if we get out of 10th and into playoffs, it's not like High was, you know, it was High's fault. He was holding them back and now everything's fine. We're doing a bunch of things to try to improve the fortunes of the team going forward. You know, and if I didn't, I know I didn't make that clear in the blister review. I haven't been making that clear before now tonight. Let me just say that very explicitly.
Jedi Mice, thank you so much for calling on the show.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
All right, we're moving on to the next caller, but I do...
very polite caller so far.
Yeah. Kulos33 resub for 3 months and says, Omen by HP, Ateo, Golden Guardians merch store, Hotline League merch, do it, Travis. Just plugging everything. Raging Pianist subbed. It's a person who plays a piano. Lengthy Zemet subbed. Purple Reich subbed. Purple R-E-Q. Reiku Shu the Mighty subbed. Asmodai 510 resub for 3 months. Korean Vibes resubbed for 2 months and says, I think Travis is daddy. I don't really have a response to that. I am the fourth Hokage resub for 2 months. Sabix subbed. Wrath of Khan gifted the sub to Jacob Wolf. We already shouted him out for that. Impor Emilio has subbed. So many subs tonight. Thank you guys. Really appreciate it.
Can I pull a question out of Twitch chat that sure. Froskirin was saying, but other people? So, yeah. You know, I don't know if this, we are explicitly setting playoffs as a goal for this split in a way that we didn't for Spring Split. I went into Spring Split interviews just talking very modestly about, you know, sort of our longer timeline and other things. Playoffs is a goal for this split. I'm kind of hard setting that as a clear expectation for the team, because I think we have the talent to do it. And having learned a lot about our guys and sort of adjusted our system and made, you know, kind of a robust set of changes, we think that's, you know, realistic. So we're kind of setting that as a goal. You know, I think people are nervous that maybe it never matters how well we do, or, you know, we have some timeline that it's possibly long. You know, I think summer split, we're aiming for playoffs, whether we get there or not. I don't know, you know, like, that's a goal where we're early in, but you know, that is explicitly the goal for spring split.
Emily
is here.
Emily's on the show. Emily, where are you calling from?
Los Angeles, California.
Hey, Emily.
Los Angeles, California. Emily, what do you want to talk about on the show today?
A lot of familiar faces tonight.
Yeah, I don't know why you drew such a crowd out of like the professionals.
Yeah, can we do conflict of interest? Emily and I know each other reasonably well, and we used to work together at Yahoo Esports, but I did not know she was coming on the show, and I did not give you a question to ask, did I?
No, I actually just...
Hashtag paid by Hunter.
Yeah, I've followed Mickey's career since he started in China, rumored to have mistakenly been picked up as a jungler because he spammed Lee Sin mid, and they quickly realized that he was not a jungler, but he's a very mechanically gifted player, obviously, and he was on Anarchy, he was on the Freaks, incredibly volatile player. So I guess I have a few questions about why you chose him specifically, but the first one is one of the issues with High. I know a lot of people bring up his CS numbers, his control over mid lane. If you're looking for someone to be able to control that midpoint of the map, why Mickey? Because he is really type of player, in my opinion.
You kind of cut out. Really, what type of player?
He is not that type of player. Like, he's not going to be the person who sits in mid and wave clears. He can be a very volatile player. He often goes for some really risky outplays, which either end up looking really awesome or really terrible. So I'm not like coming on here to poop on him or anything, but I'm just wondering like what you were looking for from him as a player, first of all.
And just to chime into having casted him, like I knew his career and his story of like, you know, quote unquote coin flip Mickey or like the dice rolling thing. And then like when I casted a full season of Challenger and watched him like all the time, it was like, oh my God, this dude is like just the most balls to the wall player. Like he thinks Azir is like Sandra levels of like play. Like he just thinks he has to be in the back line. It was crazy. So just okay. to add a little bit more.
Yeah. Sorry. That didn't seem like the end of the sentence. Yeah. Like I think that's fair. So Among other things, like we did a ton of scouting, you know, when we were kind of thinking about possibilities, and we liked a lot of what we saw in Mickey. I think he's a unicorn in that there are not a lot of available LCS ready mid laners who can kind of step right in and play, especially, you know, we're fortunate that he's available like halfway through the year when most of those guys, you know, kind of have a job at the LCS or some other equivalent, you know, tier at, in another region. And so, you know, I think that was, you know, I think Mickey is an incredibly strong laner. You're right that there's like a risky thing, but I also think like in doing scouting and talking to players and working with Juan on, you know, kind of leveraging his experience and watching VODs and having him kind of participate in that process. Like we thought that they would have a lot of chemistry and natural synergy in the way that they play together. And that kind of jungle mid synergy is increasingly important. And so some of what you see in the way Mickey plays, I think, is also some of what you see in the way Juan plays. And so if they're able to kind of put that together, which we feel, you know, optimistic that they will, I think you suddenly have this really kind of aggressive, volatile, unexpectedly, you know, strong duo that can work together as necessary. I also think like Mickey is still 20 and has a ton of his career in front of him and has a long way that he can go in his game. And I think one of the things that we hope to do, you know, is not necessarily change Mickey's nature. I think there's a way in which every player sort of is what he is, but use that and sort of put that risk taking within a broader framework of the team strategically and make sure to pair him, you know, with kind of a no or more cautious voice than Matt and really empower Matt to try to be a balance both in what, you know, in terms of the overall team strategy, but also sort of mid and later game when they're not necessarily isolated within their lane. So I think it's a totally fair question. It's definitely one that we debated as we were kind of looking at all of our options that were available for mid lane, you know, and one that I think we feel confident that we have both the personnel in place and a broader system solutions to make sure that we're getting the best out of Mickey possible.
So Twitch chat is just spamming, why not get Damante?
Yeah. So I can't talk about players that are under contract with other teams. I'm just not going to be able to answer questions about players that are on other teams one way or the other. That's just an unfortunate restriction of you know, tampering and poaching rules.
So I don't know if this is something you can answer, is maybe some of the difficulties of looking for players in between splits versus at the end of a season. So the difference between spring and summer versus summer to spring.
Yeah. So I think that's a great question. So I think one thing, and we're already seeing this in my opinion, although I think maybe the lack of announcements to date isn't confirmation that there will be no announcements ongoing. Previously between splits, there was a decent amount of turnover. Because you had, you know, 1.5 or so teams being relegated. So that's teams dropping out, 2 new teams coming in, looking to make changes. So there was sort of top teams could pull up from that pool of kind of flux. Some new teams had to sort of shore things up. You know, with longer contracts being enabled by franchising and academy teams having a very different focus than challenger teams before, rosters in general, I think, are more stable than they were even in previous years between splits, and between splits being even less, you know, less of a volatile time or less of a free pool of players than at the end of the year. So I think everybody, you know, teams that all 10 teams, you know, didn't have infinite options when they were trying to remake their team or sort of thinking about what was going on. You know, again, I can't comment around what conversations we did or didn't have or what that did or didn't suggest were our possibilities. But it's definitely not like it was before this year started, where there was, you know, 43 of the 50 LCS positions in this whole kind of academy change. Obviously, like a really different space.
Emily, additional thoughts?
So I guess the thing, I can totally see why you look at contracts and you look at Mickey and you'd be like, okay, you know, if we set up some really awesome dive compositions, this could be, you know, just insane. I guess my counter to that would be that I do think that a jungler like Contracts, who does like to invade very aggressively, benefits strongly from having a mid laner that he can communicate with well and also can really have a strong control over the mid push. But transitioning to that, I guess what I also wanted to talk about was communication, bringing on a South Korean player into your organization, just because not only is Mickey just a volatile player on the Rift, but I know this past offseason he did express some kind of homesickness and the fact that he really wanted to go back and visit South Korea, and he missed a lot of his friends and stuff like that. And I think the best I've ever seen him play was definitely when he was on that Freaks lineup. And again, it was, there were a lot of loud voices on that team, but they made it work, and they had a coach in Coach Kong who came on that was, you know, this historic kind of Korean coach. Them from kind of a group of friends and streamers where Mickey would either carry or the team would lose into like a legitimate team. And that's when I feel like you performed the best. So I'm wondering how you're going to address that communication aspect, because I certainly did not see him play that well in China, and definitely did not see him play that well in North America on Team Liquid.
Yeah. So I guess it's threefold. One, you know, we got comms of Mickey in game, you know, to kind of get a sense of what he's like, you know, in terms of the game. And so I think we're pretty reassured that that within the flow of the game, while obviously it's not the exact same thing, you know, his communication skills are actually pretty good. And I think people are underestimating his English within the kind of League of Legends framework. Two, you know, we are, I think I mentioned this earlier, we're actively looking for some more kind of Korean support in general. It's something that Steve and Tim from TL said that we should definitely do when we were talking to them about how, you know, what made Mickey successful there. How can we set him up for success here when he gets here? You know, they really recommended, like, they kind of mentioned some of the same things. We were sort of aware of them, but mentioned some of the same things. Talked about what, you know, kind of lessons they had learned from having him on TL and what we should apply. And so we're going to apply some of those in terms of both like actual literal Korean facility, but also in terms of the kind of house and team environment that leads to him to being successful. So we're sort of aware of those challenges kind of explicitly, and have taken some steps already, and have a couple more that we're going to take before he gets here to try to get through that. So, you know, Matthew definitely is in Korea already. He wanted to go over there and train between splits. He's been talking to Mickey and working on building kind of some of the friendship already, you know, even long distance. Hi and Mickey have been chatting a little, Contracts and Mickey have been chatting a little to try to get them, you know, get those relationships building. I think it's something that we know that we're going to need to deliver on if he's going to be successful and our team is going to be successful. And so we've started down that road, I think, relatively aggressively, given that he's happy.
It's kind of a, not necessarily a direct follow-up, but what's your like overall opinion on getting another Korean import player? Because this is now your, you know, for the brief history of the org, the first import that you guys have gone for, like, is this something that you guys are more open to? Because it is, I think in a lot of people's mind, a less development focused approach, even though, like you said, Mickey is young, but.
Yeah. You know, I think you could, a couple things. So we were never going to be all NA necessarily forever, right? And so there was, you know, and Travis and I think talked about this in my initial interview, right? Like before the split even started, that we didn't necessarily want to sort of create this impression that there would never be an import ever. I think importing can be strategically make sense as it does for us right now. So whether you need two or not, I don't know. I think teams, there's a lot of different models for kind of finding success there. I don't know that this makes it easier. It probably does from a kind of synergy standpoint. How much more likely it does, I don't know. You know, we have one for now. Maybe there'll be two next split. Maybe there'll be zero next split. I think you know, in some ways, next split is a long way away. But I definitely think it's possible. I think more than anything, right, like we want to make sure that every player that we bring in is set up for success, because the success of the organizations come off the success of the individual players. And so, you know, if it makes sense to bring in, you know, a non-resident and put them on the roster, then I think we'll do that if we can set them up for success. I think a developmental org, right, like the Warriors at the basketball level, I think are still very much a developmental org. They're playing for championships right now. They don't, you know, you can have a developmental mindset and still have a team that is competing at the highest level or doesn't necessarily have rookies on it at any time. Some of that development may shift, you know, more explicitly to the academy level when we get that far. So I don't want to create the impression that like competing for championships or having imports is somehow at odds with having a development focus sort of top to bottom. I think those two can work hand in hand. You'll just sort of be moving around somewhere that development's happening.
Anything else, Emily?
I mean, that was pretty much it. I just wanted to chat about Mickey for a minute and provide some context for people that just might not be familiar with his play style. Because again, like, we're talking about a player who just within the NA scope his first game on TL, if I remember correctly, he rotated bot lane to basically like kind of come down and gank bot lane for mid. And he went for a 1v1 trade under turret and I believe killed the other person, but also died himself. I was like, that's a perfect introduction of Mickey to North America, to be quite honest. So.
There's also, if you want like the most absurd like level of aggression you will ever see on the Zier player, like watch his Academy game this split against CLG Academy that they end up losing despite being up like 10k gold at 20 minutes or something insane. Like this dude is like, yeah, literally the most aggressive player I think I've seen in a while.
More aggressive than Huni?
It's like Huni who fucks up more.
Okay. Emily, before we go, I would love to get your anime pick of the week.
Oh, good callback. Ooh.
I'm like super behind on everything. The only thing I've been watching has been Steins Gate Zero. And I can't actually recommend that to people because you really do need to have seen the original season. So I guess I'll just recommend Steins Gate.
Okay.
But if, let's say hypothetically, I had watched the first one, how is it in comparison?
Pleasantly surprised. I was not expecting to come in because Steins Gate ended pretty, you know,
definitively.
Finitely. Yeah. Yeah. And so I was like, and I've never played the visual novels either. So I was like, oh, the show's good. I don't really need more of it, but the way they've done it is actually really good. So I've been enjoying it.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Emily. Had a couple of people that have been asking how to get on the show. In fact, somebody donated $5 and said, how much do I have to pay to get on? There's no amount of money that you can pay to get on. We try not to do that. You can sub, which somewhat increases your chances, but to be honest, like, we have 2 hours for the whole show. We do a little bit of an intro in the beginning. People come on sometimes for 5 or 10 minute long discussions. So I know that not everyone will always be able to get on. And I apologize for that, but that's just sort of the way the show goes. That doesn't mean that you're awful or that we hate your question or something like that. It's just there are hundreds of people watching the show right now, and probably a ton of them are asking questions. We just don't have time for
it. Travis, no one's going to check the VOD, so you can just lie next time. Say thousands are watching the show.
There are literally a million people watching the show right now. Mark's Discord keeps crashing because he's getting 100,000 questions a second.
Ninja hopes that we're hosting him soon.
Yeah. Izento is on the show. Izento, where are you calling from?
What's up? Sunny Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. And what do you want to talk about on the show soon, tonight?
Well, I've noticed a lot of talk between Mickey and High and replacing High. And I think the community sentiment is that there won't be a person to lead the team. And it's kind of like a trade of leadership versus mechanical prowess and someone who might not speak English to a great capacity. And the problem I think Golden Guardians is suffering through all of this is by not showing the personality of your players. And the doubt kind of settles in when looking at the rest of the roster and seeing that their personality types aren't exactly the first thing that comes to mind when thinking of leaders and the likes of Contracts or Lorlo or Matt, especially from the days of their Team Liquid stint with at least Lorlo and Matt. And this team kind of has some of the smallest name value, no offense, but they just don't seem like they have the biggest branding. And that may be in part because of Golden Guardians' lack of content. Now, if you look at their YouTube channel, it's like all full of small clips of big plays in specific games, but there's really no in-depth content to learn about the players. Now, I know it's difficult to create content when your team is losing so much, but still, I mean, not yep, to like yikes. Put it as a burn, but
when you suck as much as you do, I can understand, Hunter, why there's no content.
Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. Our content challenges are not related to our win record.
Okay, so I mean, why hasn't there been a focus towards letting us get to know these players and developing their brand as players?
Great question. And I'm glad you asked. So so this definitely, you know, something that we expected to bring online over the course of the spring split. Like, we tried to hit the ground running and get sort of the necessities in place. And we just didn't get to content as fast as we hoped. And so we had a position open that we finally filled. And, you know, our kind of first real content creator is coming on board Monday. Two Mondays. Wait, what's Monday? 2 Mondays from now, you know, as the guys get back from their kind of break. And so I expect that you'll see our content volume increase dramatically as we go into the summer. A lot of that being very sort of personality oriented or storytelling content in a way that we didn't have before. So I think it's a totally, totally fair criticism. And some of what we see that I think you know, that I hope that you'll see, but also that makes us confident that like Sam and Matt are really ready to step into more leadership positions. And Matthew, who like is very new to everybody and most people haven't seen, I think it's really positioned to be one of the strongest voices and strongest personalities on this team, is that you wouldn't have a way to do it, right? Like, you could watch their streams and maybe get a feel for it. But we haven't created that content that gives the community a chance to get to know them in the same way. And so that's something we're going to do a lot more. This split and, you know, sort of going forward from here. We just didn't get there, I think, as fast as we hoped. And it's totally fair to say, like, I'm skeptical of this explanation, given what you've shown me, because you've shown me nothing.
Yeah. And well, it's not so much that it's so late. I mean, it is to an extent, but when you also look at how Golden Guardians have performed this split, it's almost as if you've dug yourself a hole, and that if you also fail this summer split and don't necessarily ramp up in content to meet people's expectations, I don't see a way for you to get more well-known players due to no extra incentive to join this organization. I mean, if you look at the other brands like Cloud9 or TSM, they have massive branding. So if you...
What about FlyQuest?
Have you actually looked at their YouTube channel, Travis?
I mean, it's just Team Snickers. Anyway, continue.
Well, okay, so if you pay me as much as TSM, say I'm a star player, and if you pay me as much as TSM and you say, yeah, we'll match their whatever they're offering you, we'll match that, I'm definitely going to TSM because they have a massive branding and it's better for my brand as a player.
Sure.
So in one sense, you're kind of digging yourself a hole that if you don't perform well this split, then suddenly you have to go all in on this rookie talent and you can't change your game plan because no one from, you know, the superstar category is going to want to join your team.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say I think that hole already existed, you know, before any of the new teams got into the space. The endemic teams had a ton of advantages in that sense. And so, you know, I don't know that we've dug ourselves a bigger hole than maybe we had in the first place, but we certainly haven't dug ourselves out of or climbed out of a hole. And maybe it is deeper in the end. So we have to make some content for sure. And we have to win some games for sure, more than we won. And, you know, I think that's definitely like a challenge that we're hoping that we're looking to meet and taking steps to meet and that we're going to get, you know, kind of surpass or achieve or do challenges over the course of this split.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Cool. Thanks for calling.
What are you going to do? What's your content?
Okay. So I think the episodic, right, like the 20-minute episodic show that everybody does every week is great, but it's also hard to get people to watch them if your team is not necessarily super successful. Like Optic had one. I don't know how many people know that because not a lot of people were watching Optic's content. And so I think there's a little bit of a chicken and an egg problem with content in general, right? Like if you make stuff that nobody watches, it's not necessarily doing. If you don't have the wins or competitive success to kind of drive more interest in your team, that content isn't necessarily worth it. But if you don't have that content, like the caller was just saying, it's hard for people to get interested or tell these bigger stories. So, you know, so there's a little bit of a chicken and an egg, but we're going to try to create, I would describe our team, and I don't know how different this is, as really a playful group. I think something that is true about esports content in general is that a lot of teams try to justify esports or kind of maybe not appeal to mainstream necessarily, but you could see it in Riot's content and something I talked about when I was there and in esports content in general, that gaming is fun and maybe dismissed easily. And so you try to make your content seem serious or double down on the dramatic moments, whether that's, you know, sort of internal personality drama or just the competitive nature in general, I think we're going to move away from that. And so, you know, for example, one idea we were talking about in kind of our return to spring thing is, you know, bringing all the guys back up to the Bay Area, having a video about them, like coming to Oracle Arena, you know, and sort of coming back. And so maybe like someone's in a cab going across Golden Gate Bridge, you show the Golden Gate Bridge, and someone's, you know, flying in, or they're on a ferry across whatever. And then we cut to, you know, Matt and Matthew, and they're on a tandem bicycle, right? And so Matt's pedaling really hard because he's a sport, and definitely's like finger gunning to girls on the side, or maybe got water pistols or whatever, right? And so, and then you have like Sam, and he's on a horse, and he's like in a full cowboy gear, and he's riding his horse across the bridge, and then he's going to the, right? And so I think, you know, we can find ways, I think, to stay with the lighter side, the fun side of gaming, of our guys kind of express their personality, and maybe find a differentiator between us and some of what the other teams are doing. And so it's a little silly, right? Like it's not normal stuff, but I think it sort of speaks to a little bit of our personality as an org, where I think we're a little playful, and are the personality of our guys, where I think they're a little playful, and try to position ourselves a little bit differently. I don't know that you'll see the 20-minute behind-the-scenes video the way everybody else has done it. I think that's done, and I also think it's expensive if people aren't going to watch it. I think we're going to try to find different ways to show our personality and try to maybe put some guys in scenarios that they wouldn't normally be put in. I think the ad carry meme that got started around Defly, this sort of organic thing, I don't think we should be scared to be memeable that way. And, you know, I think – I don't know if my guy – I don't know if Juan feels that way, or Sam wants to ride a horse yet, or whatever, right? Like, this is at the concept level, but I think ultimately, like, if our org is kind of operating at all cylinders, we're going to take the kind of risk-taking approach that we're willing to do, and kind of risk tolerance that we do elsewhere, and do it in terms of the content and the playfulness that we're
just be careful, because that was kind of what happened with Cloud9 when they were making all their meme videos, and everyone was just like, oh, you're not actually taking this seriously.
Yeah, it's a fine line to walk. And I appreciate that. It's totally a fine line to walk in general. I don't think esports should be afraid to be fun. You know, like it is sure. Fun. So we should have fun with it.
So I'm going to pitch you on a great video.
Oh, boy.
Deftly and Matt meet Deft and Mata. So I don't know if
they're make that happen.
I don't know if they're ever going to come to North America anytime soon, but.
Well, Deftly's in Korea right now. You know, I like that. I'm going to note that. And if it happens, we'll give you a little like shout out in the YouTube description, Mark Z, for saying this would happen. Yeah, I don't know. I really have no idea if Deft and Mata are aware of their NA counterparts. That would be fun just in and of itself.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what that video would be,
international stage.
Like, you just film it and it's like, look, they're in the same room. This is funny. And then,
it needs a little bit of workshopping, Travis.
Yeah, a little bit more.
Listen, you start with the broad strokes and you fill it in, okay?
Yeah.
Watch some Bob Ross.
Gotcha.
A happy little trip.
Mm-hmm. Happy little finding a way to get all the equipment there to shoot that.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about, Mr. Azento?
No, you guys are doing a great job, and I look forward to seeing Golden Guardians kind of bring up, bless up in the summer split. So
awesome. Thanks, man. I appreciate you calling in. Great question.
All right.
Final one.
Just really quickly, we've got Sabix, who subbed, Wrath of, already got that. Empor Emilio, who I believe was our first caller, subbed. Kyle 0808 resubbed. I'm only Ricky resubbed. Jesco 5, he was the one that said, how much do I have to pay to get on? Not much more than 5. I'm just kidding. We don't take dollar. People don't pay to get on the show. Real Foxy gifted a sub to Kobe, who's been watching.
Not directly.
Travis was about to say, we don't take bribes. And he's like, well, I do take bribes.
Yeah. Real Foxy gifted a sub to League of Emily. So both Kobe and Emily now subs. Last caller of the night is Jacob. Jacob, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Hartford, Connecticut.
Hartford, Connecticut. I'm sorry to hear that's...
For another month, and then Brooklyn, New York. So. Okay.
Oh, that's a much, that's an upgrade.
That's a big upgrade.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yeah, okay. I'm quite excited.
Good for you.
What do you want to talk about on the show today, besides the article that you probably want to plug?
No, I don't want to plug the article. I mean, thank you, Hunter, for mentioning it earlier. I was really happy with the conversation Special and I had. But I more so want to talk about staff. I kind of want to preface this by saying, like, I'm a big fan of the ownership of the Golden State Warriors. I know the Lacobs and I know Peter Guber pretty well. I think they're pretty swell people, and I think they do a really good job, particularly on the basketball side of things. But I did want to ask, right? So this is an application process that took about 6 to 8 months to get done. And obviously part of the application you put together, for those unfamiliar, was staff and who your plans for both your team and your brand. So all of this is a big discussion, right? So my question to you is, Hunter, three of your staff are former Riot Games people, Dagon, Spelzy, and yourself, right? And obviously there was probably a suggestion that there were people out there looking for jobs like yourself that could join this organization and help them. But none of you have ever worked in team management before. What makes you qualified to operate a team and, you know, put together this team and run it?
I mean, I guess you'd have to ask the people that hired me. I mean, I must have done a decent job in the interview. I don't think Dagon or Spelzy came up in the application at all. And I wasn't I wasn't with the Warriors at the time. So I think you could sort of separate, right, like the application part from the final hiring process. I don't think those are really related in any way. But, you know, I think I do more than just operate the League of Legends team in terms of like picking players and stuff. There are not a lot of esports businesses that have been run out there. And so having done, you know, two stints on the media side, worked at a developer, I've seen the industry from a number of different angles. I've done sales work, business development, tournament operation, like tournament development, developer relations. I've done, you know, kind of player relations work when I was at Riot and other things, content creation. And so, you know, my resume is like, and I can't tell if this is a gotcha question. My resume is like relatively robust in terms of covering a lot of different aspects of the industry. In addition to that, right, like I was already in the Bay Area. So, you know, it was easy for me to be, you know, right in the backyard of the Warriors and work closely with them. You know, I have a bunch of contacts up here in the tech sector that are relevant both, you know, now and kind of going forward as things expand. You know, Warriors are opening this new stadium. So, you know, my job is, yes, like we have the League of Legends team. We also have a 2K team that just started. We're going to be another games after that. And, you know, in the long run, right, like while I'm like super detailed involved in the creation of this roster and things, we're going to hire a, you know, more something that looks a lot more like a traditional sports GM. To take over all of this. Mark, you're looking for a gig, let me know. You know, we're gonna look for somebody who, like Bob Myers does, for the Warriors, is going to own the competitive side kind of top to bottom. One, because you're absolutely right, like not my expertise. I haven't run a team, and I'm definitely like, you know, I was plat however many years ago and play a lot of League of Legends, but it, you know, I'm not nearly that kind of player. You know, we're going to need to find additional expertise. We just want to make sure that we're hiring the right person, and we're going to take our time to make sure that we get that person. And I don't think we've seen a lot of what looks like a traditional sports GM within esports historically. So that wasn't something we were going to get out of the gate. And I think one thing that Loco brought to the table that we don't have anymore, obviously, is like a lot of experience in a lot of those aspects and contacts around the world and, you know, real kind of talent evaluation chops and scouting and other things. So, you know, Fapton Falco, great name. You can like look up my account on op.gg and see that I was plat. You know, you can just, it's GGS Hunter. Go look at it right now. It's right there. So, you know, I think what I bring to the table is a bunch of skills that are not necessarily like directly related to the team management, the side of it that people see, but are related to the much broader aspects of running like a team business and making that successful both now, but also, you know, sort of set up for the way we all hope that the industry grows over time.
My rebuttal to that, Hunter, would be that a lot of the people that 100 Thieves hired actually have no experience in League of Legends whatsoever. And many of them are some of the smartest people I've ever met, I think, from like John Robinson, who worked on the Bessemer TSM deal, which we all basically know about at this point, and to a lot of the other people like Blake Robbins. Like these are people that have not worked in League of Legends, but they almost came in first in the entire split, right? Like they were a phenomenal team. What do you think?
I'll hop in as a third party here. Like as someone who like was somewhat a part of that, I brought up a couple times. Like I met with those guys even before they were franchised. Like, I mean, they did one of the things that they've talked about time and time again was like they got Prawly, and like he fundamentally built that roster, and like they did the right thing in hiring people, but I don't think it at least from my understanding of how they talk about it, it's not fair to say that 100 Thieves outside people built that successful League of Legends team. The way they talk about it is like, yeah, we got Prawly early on and he picked out the players he wanted and we helped go get them.
Yeah, I mean, our Golden Guardians have Loco, so I mean, it's another experienced coach who's been on top level teams before, has worked with a bunch of different players. So I think both teams were kind of started fresh, right? Like even Clutch Gaming, like Sebastian Park doesn't come from League of Legends, and even their staff, you know, like if you look at D-Lim, he worked on a Liquid team that wasn't so great either. And obviously they came in fourth. So I'm just curious, like, Hunter, what types of changes do you think you need to make aside from players to make this work out?
I mean, I don't know if you've been watching. We've talked about a lot of changes that we've made. I'm not really sure what you're looking for exactly. You know, I think like all credit to 100 Thieves and Clutch. They had great splits, and I'm really happy for them. And you know, obviously, like you know, we hope to be as successful, you know, soon. I guess I'm not. I feel like you have some other question that you're not asking, or there's some answer you want me to say, or I'm not really sure where you're going here exactly, but like 100 Thieves did a great job. Good for them. You know, Clutch did a great job. Like good for them. Their success doesn't somehow invalidate our struggles, or vice versa. Our struggles don't. I'm not really sure what you want from me here.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing to me, and I'll just say this, it's not really a question. I feel like League of Legends often recycles people within the community. I mean, I've been in League of Legends as a professional for 4 years, and I certainly don't think that I would be able to run a team, despite me having a pretty good look on insight on the business, and also in terms of players and being able to deal with these people a lot regularly. But I mean, I think it's worth, I guess to me, I think it's worth... I think it's just worth like looking to change things up, because I mean, obviously it worked for two other teams that were kind of green and came into this new.
Okay. Jacob, just like we are, I guess I'm just not sure if you, I just really don't know is what you want me to say. Like we made a bunch of changes. Like we're committed to making more. I guess I'm just not sure what you want here.
Mike, I have another question too. Like, what about Optic? Because they both were pretty new, as well as quote unquote like recycled talent. What are your thoughts on Optic, Jacob?
I mean, I think Optic's really interesting, right? Because they actually had a lot of different rosters that I remember that they actually didn't go through with. They ended up with the one that they did. they were intriguing in the offseason. But I totally think that they have some put on their blame, right? Like I was very doubtful of the Zabatine hire when I heard it, and because he didn't have experience coaching a League of Legends team. He was a caster. So I was doubtful of that as well. I think that Optic definitely deserves some blame on management side as well.
All right.
Anything else, Jacob?
No, that's it.
Okay. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me on the show.
Yeah.
I lagged out. I'm not sure what he said at the end.
No, he just said thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, okay.
That was a weird send-off.
Yeah, it was a weird send-off. Look, I mean, I guess like more broadly, right? Like this is a whole venture that the Warriors started that starts like most prominently with the League of Legends team, but is a bunch of other things. And my job is not just to do this, but do a bunch of things. And I guess I'm just not sure, you know, we didn't start out as well as 100 Thieves did. Jacob's not breaking news. That's not a wolf bomb there that we finished in 10th and 100 Thieves finished in second or whatever. Like he doesn't respect the way I ran the team or whatever, but
just to be clear, there's like some people in Twitch chat who are like, Travis, you probably should have like stepped in there or whatever. Like, it's an interesting situation with this episode because I can't be seen as the guy like defending Hunter. We used to work together, so that's just kind of I agree, it was kind of an awkward situation, but that's kind of the way.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to play devil's advocate a little bit, because I do think it's weird to single out the Oregon 10th and just kind of say like, you fucked up. And like, I'm sure Hunter knows the ways as the one in the middle that they fucked up a lot. And I don't know. It just seemed weird. I'm sure there were a lot of bad decisions along the way that like all the teams that finished low down made and that they would take back. That's why I brought up Optic. It's like they had some internal people, but they also had a lot of external people that didn't like, they didn't do well. I don't know. It was
yeah. Weird. I mean, I think, I know we're trying to put a button on this, and I'm sure my wife's ready for me to not be doing this anymore. But this is where one split into what I think we all hope is like many, many, many years of League of Legends. And you know, like, yes, that we did not start out with as good a split as they have, but we're confident that like we're taking a long term approach, this development oriented, and we're gonna you know do a lot of great things this split and beyond. So
yeah,
hold on 1 second. Or you guys talk about yourselves.
Okay. We're wrapping up the show here. I'm going to stick around on stream right after this and kind of give my thoughts. Cause this was like I'll do it off the show. Cause, it's kind of a weird situation that I was much quieter than normal, but, I don't know. We can wind things down. Mark, anything that you want to say to anybody out there?
Nope. Come back tomorrow night, everybody, where we Parth on the show.
Yeah. Parth's awesome. I hope you guys have great questions for him.
Parth is
so hesitant to do this, and the only reason he's coming on is because he's so bored. I had lunch with him this week, and he's like in my boat where he's like, "Yeah, I don't have anything to do because it's TSM's first real off season. They finally fucking lost early in playoffs and don't have anything to do, and now he's feeling the pain every team feels."
Yeah,
it's a long break. Our last game of spring split was like March 19th. Our first game of summer split is June 16th. It's so long. And you know, that's new, like it's even longer, but TSM made it 1 week further than us, right? So they have like almost 3 months. Great questions for Parth about what an offseason feels like. And you know, theirs is going to be like, I assume, very different from ours given the way their roster was constructed and you know, the sort of confidence and steadiness of that hand and everything else. So tomorrow night should be really good.
Thank you so much, Hunter, for coming on the show. Anything Absolutely. That you want to say here at the end?
No, I mean, I think, you know, I just we may probably have a bunch of different viewers. I'm here in part to kind of reinforce that that the interview with Blitz like got out of hand. I said some inappropriate things to which I apologize to High and I apologize to my team and, you know, here to kind of apologize to fans in the community. Like that was completely inappropriate. And, you know, it's part of what I want to do here is talk about the changes, but also, you know, really say that kind of explicitly so that people hear it from me. And, you know, we wish High like absolutely nothing but the best. He's an amazing person. I loved being around him. He was, you know, infectious in the organization and you know, and I'm going to miss him around the house. So High's going to be a great content creator or anything else that he puts his mind to. And again, nothing but the best. And I appreciate the format here for a chance to say that and take some great questions, take some whatever that was from Jacob Wolf and have a good time.
Thank you so much for coming on. And I'll stick around after the show. We'll be back tomorrow with Parth. So please come back in 22 hours for that episode. This has been Hotline League episode 24.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.